No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Hot Mike Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about the Winnipeg Jets' victory in overtime. How rare is that for this team this season? By a 4-3 margin, the Jets finished the road trip with a 2-1 record, getting the all important 2 points in St. Louis. Sure, you'd rather it be in regulation, but ultimately it's not like the Blues and the Jets are going to be fighting for the same playoff spot. The 2 points is what matters the most, and the Winnipeg Jets take that home with tonight's game. Good to see you both. As you, one of these days after 13 years of radio, you're going to realize when the mic is hot and when the mic is not hot.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, I missed muting 101 in StreamYard's university, right? So, yeah, what an incredible game, guys. And, you know, this Jets team, you know, we know they've been a little bit helter-skelter. That's an understatement this season. But, yeah, in overtime, they've definitely not had, you know, their good share of wins, right? And, you know, that's huge, right? And, you know, I'm sure we're going to get into the non-call. Like, I don't know how the refs don't call that on David Perron. Like, that's a mugging. That's not holding or interference. Like, he basically mauled him. So, yeah. You know, they come back on a 3-on-1, and then Hellebuck makes a huge save on Perron.
I would have bet dollars to donuts that puck was going in the net there. Just everything we've seen this year with this Winnipeg Jets team, and with knock-knock poor officiating specific to the Jets, but just poor officiating in general around the league, I would have bet that puck was going into the net, and then you just would have seen a explosion. This would have just been an absolute fury is what you would have seen as a result of that non-call. The refs actually are the most fortunate ones there that Hellebuck made that save, and the Jets, of course, as well.
And that was a big save, right? He comes out, he challenges Perron, nice pad save, and you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois obviously, you know, finishes off the great 2-on-1. Nice pass by Ehlers. Dubois obviously, you know, got hit by the puck earlier in the game. He was a monster, you know, in that overtime. I mean, Dave and I were talking about it as we were watching, right? There's been a lot of criticism, if you want to call it that, the Jets not using three forwards, because we know that, you know, Dubois, Connor, Ehlers, I mean, that's a good combination, especially when there's only, you know, three other players on the ice, right? So, you know, just a really nice goal. They had other chances in that overtime. And, you know, I thought, you know, after the first period, it was mainly the play controlled by the Jets guys. Like, I mean, you saw, you know, some really good shifts by Scheifele, Stastny, and Wheeler. Dubois, Connor were excellent again. I mean, it seems like they never really have a bad game. So I know we'll get into the goals here, but that was just a really impressive effort. I mean, look, at the game on Long Island was a huge disappointment. I mean, the Jets didn't play really well. And if you lose to the Blues, your season is pretty much over. So, you know, are the Jets, you know, back in it? I mean, they are. I mean, you look at Vegas lost tonight. So, yeah. I mean, they're within, what, 4 points of Vegas right now? And Dallas has games in hand, but Anaheim lost. So, look, I'm not saying that the Jets are a guarantee or a lock to make playoffs, but a win's better than a loss at this point in the season. And at the very least, you were still in the playoff race. And if you lost this game in regulation, you're basically done.
If you lose in regulation, you're basically done. I would agree with that comment. To your point about the Golden Knights, they lost to Columbus 6-4 tonight, and the Anaheim Ducks are currently down 4-2 to the New York Islanders. That's halfway through the third period, so the out-of-town scoreboard looking fairly decent for the Jets so far. The Predators, they've doubled up on the Wild. They're up 4-2. The Predators are in the second wild card spot, of course. Pardon me, the first wild card spot, so with a victory that looks like they're on the verge of getting, they'll actually be tied with Minnesota for third in the Central Division. But the Vegas Golden Knights are only 4 points ahead of the Jets now after their loss tonight, Dave, and the Jets' victory. And guess who plays on Tuesday night here in Winnipeg? It's the Golden Knights against the Jets. The Jets actually still have a game in hand on the Golden Knights. But, you know, when this road trip started, the Jets, I believe, were 7 or 8 points out of the playoffs. And now 3 games and 4 nights later, the Jets are only 4 points out. So they are, look, is it a long shot? Yeah, I'd still declare it a long shot, but it's a lot closer as a result of tonight's victory had they not had it not been a victory for the Jets, Dave.
No, there's no question about it. I think Ezzy and I talked about it. You and I tweeted about it before overtime started. You know, it's good to have 3 points, but you couldn't afford to have a middling road trip, which this would have been if you just came back with half the amount of points you could have come home with. Instead, yeah. you return with 4 of 6, makes it a little bit better. And as you just said, Drew, it gets you a little closer to that line. It still doesn't look great for the Jets. It's still not an easy task. Still, the climb is still very uphill for them mm-hmm. because of all these games that go to extra time, extra points, and that sort of thing. So it doesn't make it any easier, but I mean, or it does actually, sorry, it does make it a little bit easier, but it's still going to be a tall task. So yeah. Look, it's what you needed to do. And the Jets had a bit of a gut check they needed to, you know, Andrew Kopp, and it sounds like it's a little bit more serious than anything. He was frustrated. Blake Wheeler, courtesy of Mike McIntyre from the Weekly Press, said, they're concerned about Andrew Kopp, who left the game in the third with an apparent head injury, calls it a sobering moment and bigger than the game. So, you know, Kopp didn't look like, other than frustration, it looked like it was a bad hit. He had his head down. We'll talk about it obviously throughout the course of the broadcast, but it
looked like a clean hit though, Dave. Like I was trying to find an angle where you could say maybe it wasn't clean, but it wasn't late and it didn't look like, it was a hit to the head or anything like that. So it was, just Kopp not seeing him, right?
Yeah, Kopp had his head down and he got caught in the neutral zone with his head down, which you really shouldn't, you know, have happen. And the reality is, I think he was frustrated, and that's what it appeared to be when he was heading to the room. And he tossed his helmet in frustration and then went to the room. And of course, he didn't return for the rest of the game. And so we'll have to wait to see what happens and what the reports are, to, you know, coming when they come back to Winnipeg. But
But the words, no. I mean, the C word is the one that comes to mind, and not for sure in this instance.
Yeah, of course. And so
it would be the second in a very short period of time.
That's true. So I think that it becomes a function of, you just have to wait and see, and we'll hope for the best for him. Forget about hockey for a second. You just hope for the guy's health, that he'll be okay. But that could have been a negative turning point. Instead, it ended up being something that the team somewhat rallied around, and they were able to kind of get back in the hockey game. And look, Ezzy's 100% right. If you come back with 2 points on this road trip, I mean, you're not mathematically eliminated, but the wee bit closer, as I talked about, is not there. And instead, you have 4 of 6. So you're feeling good about yourself. You're feeling good about the way the road trip went overall. You're back home for 2 games now, and you don't have – it's not as if you have games in close proximity, right? You have Vegas on Tuesday. You have Boston on Friday. Not easy games. Well, Vegas, who knows what that's going to be like. But Boston, and then you have a few – you can kind of empty the tank a little bit, right? Because you'll have – you know, I'm assuming they'll have at least a day off in between those games. They'll have a day of practice or two. So you have an opportunity to kind of rest, heal up, let things kind of reset. We saw Neil Pionk this morning at morning skate. That's the first time he's taken part in a morning skate or a practice. In quite some time. So that's a positive sign, but a little more rest will do these guys well. The Moose are leaving tomorrow. So I guess we'll find out if they're lighter, they're going out, 7 games on the road. They're just going to Abbotsford for their first couple of games of this 7-game road trip. So they'll stay in Canada. They'll be easily accessible if the Jets need anyone, which I'm assuming they may. But like I said, we'll see what happens in that regard. But you're feeling somewhat good, still not great, but you're at least feeling better about the way your situation looks after this road trip.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll keep an eye on the rest of the out-of-town scoreboard throughout the course of the post-game show to keep you updated on everything that related to the Jets and the playoffs. The big game still to come tonight. Tampa Bay really scuffling as of late. They're in Vancouver to face the Canucks on the second half of back-to-back. The Canucks, obviously, just in front of the Jets, 1 point in front of the Jets, pending the outcome of the game later on tonight. But, of course, much more to come, including our game recap, which is brought to you by our friends at Betway. Betway is one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. It's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. It must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Let's get right into it, gentlemen, as this was a very entertaining contest. I'll tell you what, if the Jets and the Blues played 82 times a year, I'd be perfectly fine with that, because these two teams always seem
to play good games. And they're always one goal games.
And there's an edge to them, and there's a dislike, and there's an intensity that you sometimes, not sometimes, oftentimes don't get, especially, you know, as you meander through a lot of these games in the midst of the regular season, where you're playing a team one-off that you don't really know and you don't really care about. So it's nice to see a little bit of hate between the two teams in tonight's contest. The St. Louis Blues open the scoring at the 16:48 mark of the first period. It's on the power play. David Perron, his 17th. Assist of Vladimir Tarasenko and Tory Krug, and it comes really just after the Jets fail to capitalize on a 5-on-3 power play situation. So I thought we should, you know, bundle those two different topics together. The Jets' success at 5-on-3 this year has been very, very little. They haven't had a ton of 5-on-3 opportunities, but when they do, they just don't seem to have any speed or any quickness to their decision making. You saw that again today with the 5-on-3, I thought, and then the Blues come down, and just as the penalties expire, the Blues with Svechnikov in the box get the goal to make it 1-0.
Yeah, you know, just touching on that 5-on-3, Drew, you're right. I think the Jets are something like 1-for-5 or 1-for-4. Maybe somebody can correct me in the chat. I think somebody posted that on social media during the game, which is surprising, right? Because when you consider that oftentimes the Jets' second power play unit is better than the first power play unit, right? You would think that, you know, at the very least, the Jets would be, you know, 50% or something like that. But I just thought it was too predictable. And you mentioned it wasn't quick enough. There wasn't enough motion. And I think it was just over a minute. So it's not like it was a minute and a half or a full 2 minutes or something like that. But still, the power play in general just wasn't very good. And we've talked about it many times before, not just with the Jets, but with any team in the NHL or AHL or whatever. I mean, you can really kill momentum. It can do the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could obviously give up a shorthanded goal, but if you don't have a good power play, and I believe they didn't even have a shot on that 5-on-3, right? So, I mean, that can be a killer. But, I mean, on that power play goal, I mean, you saw it on a little bit similar on the tying goal by St. Louis, Braden Schenn's goal. I mean, the Blues can move the puck around really nicely. Like, they've solid power play. And, you know, that was a really smart play by Tarasenko just to let it go. Let it go through his legs to Perron. And I mean, Perron, he's almost at 1,000 games. I mean, this guy's got close to 300 goals, and he's been a Jets killer many times before. So that was just, you know, nice pass, cross pass from Krug. The Tarasenko just kind of, I think he touched it. He must have, because they gave him the assist, right? So I just thought it was a really nice puck movement and just a nice shot by Perron.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. Very similar, I thought, to, you know, when you make the seam pass and you get it through, good things happen. And, you know, that's what, you know, the Blues were rewarded for, having more crispness and having more quickness to the power play, Dave. And it's 1-0 for the Blues, late in the first period, a first period that I thought, you know, the Jets played pretty well for at least to start the first period. I thought that maybe the Blues, it took them a little bit, maybe the first 10 or so minutes of the game to sort of find their skating legs. Second half of back-to-back for them, albeit one with about 30, 31 hours between the two puck drops. But the Blues certainly got, they scored. Their power play was crisper, and they deserved the goal, and they led 1-0 as a result after 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm with Ez. Like, the 5-on-3 to me was just kind of slow and predictable by the Jets, and it's a killer, right? It's just a total momentum killer when you don't even have that shot. You know, it wasn't a short one, right? Sometimes you can be like, okay, it was only 20 seconds, it was only 15 seconds. That was a 1 minute 5-on-3.
Yeah.
And then I think it was during the 5-on-4, St. Louis had almost the most dangerous opportunity, and then eventually the Jets got one, I think, with that Stastny chance. But look, you know, this is it's kind of a tale. And the Jets' power play hasn't been terrible. The penalty kill hasn't been great, and you know, they give one up, obviously. But it's one of those situations where you're right, Drew. They played, like, St. Louis is playing in Nashville yesterday, so even though they won, even though they're feeling good about their game, it was kind of a weird game, right? A 7-4 final, and Nashville isn't exactly, you know, a long distance to travel from St. Louis, but it's not as if they were at home. You know, like, they still had to get on a plane, get home, and Winnipeg was already in St. Louis and having a day off. So you wondered what point in the game would that start to factor in? And Paul Stastny actually addressed that, I think, during the intermission when he was when we finally got a break from all the Eric Church references and could actually focus on, like, I mean, as if I didn't hate country music enough, I was trying to figure out, you want to talk about Betway, what was the over-under on the number of times we heard Eric Church referenced on the broadcast? I was like, I mean, like I said, I can't stand country music. Sorry, I know some. I know a lot of people like it, but
by the way, get your Chris Stapleton tickets. He's coming to Winnipeg.
Sure, I don't know who that is, but it sounds great. But anywho,
yeah, Tim Stapleton's brother. Just kidding. Come on. No relation.
He's a well-known country singer, Dave.
And I was going to say, Dave, you got to be careful with, you know, comments about the country music, because I don't like country music either. You guys know I'm a big kind of, I guess my music is more hip-hop, kind of grunge. I'm a 90s kid, right? So I like that type of stuff. But anytime that you start dissing the country music is, I still think, the most popular music in the world, right? I'm just saying, be careful. Let's just make sure that we give a shout out to Johnny Cash, right?
Ezzy, I'm qualifying it. I'm not suggesting that it's terrible music. But I'm just suggesting I don't like it. It's not my thing. So anyways, I did an Ez there.
You totally derailed the whole show.
I'm surprised Drew didn't chime in there, because I know that he's got the entire Reba McEntire catalog.
No, but that Red Solo Cup is a real catchy tune. I'm not a big music guy in general, but that you know, every now and then you hear a good one that gets the toe tapping and
anyways.
gets the arm going.
The point is that the
Jets... I'm all about the bluegrass music, as you know, my Kentucky ties. They're bluegrass, they're deep.
Awesome. I mean, that's now we're talking. If we're talking bluegrass, I mean, that's a whole different style of music, right? That's good stuff.
Dave, you got the audience and you got the crowd all fired up. They're going to come after you with pitchforks, Dave. Fitting, given that it's country music and all.
Jeff isn't happy, but Grant is. See, this is the point. You get a mix and match of what people like and what people don't like. That's fine. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. I don't have, to answer Earl's question, I don't have Slayer tattoos. No, I'm definitely not a heavy metal guy. More of an EDM thing. But although I do like punk rock. So
you guys will both be glad to know that my parents told me that they're on Wednesday, it's their anniversary. They're celebrating by going to go see Paul Anka in concert. To which I said, Paul Anka's still alive. Not knowing that he was, apparently he's in his 80s, but my folks are going to go see Paul Anka in concert on Wednesday. So Dave, maybe if you want to book a ticket, you can head down to
I can learn something. Who knows? You know, I'll give up listening to Tiesto and Avicii to listen
Paul
to
some Anka. Paul Anka. Someone's doing well.
I'm not sure it's Paul Anka though.
By the way, I don't know. That might not be the hardest hitting comment, but Alan right now has got the best comment.
Are we going to give Sheldon the hardest hitting concert tonight?
No, but Save a Horse, Ride a Ginsburg is, I mean, good dear Lord. Anytime that happens, Ezzy ends up with another kid, so we probably shouldn't let that happen anymore.
Anyways, let's get back to the hockey game. The point is that the Jets were in it in that first period, and they had some chances, but it was just, you know, it's funny. I was going to say, like, it wasn't a particularly interesting first period. I thought it was kind of a slog for both teams. At least that's the way I looked at it.
The Jets opened the scoring in the second period, as in tie the game. Oh God! Now your wife's in the chat as he's saying "Amen" to Save a Horse, Ride a Ginsburg. So good
I'm not sure why Naomi's in the chat, because right before we came on air, she called me with the kids because they thought I was still at home. So they didn't believe Naomi that I was still at home. But obviously, I'm at Dave's house right now, so I'm pretty sure at least one of my children is up. So there's Naomi. That's my wife. I love you. I'll be home soon.
Nikolai Ehlers, his 15th of the year, coming at the 10:51 mark of the second period. Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor with the assist. Look, the Jets love 2-on-0s. How often do you see that? 2 in a row now. Ehlers setting up Connor. In this game, it's Dubois setting up Ehlers. And again, it's that is a... and not a good thing for the opposition when you give up a 2-on-0 to those guys.
Okay, just before, you know, we talk about this goal, I just want to go back to the first goal, because I watched the replay. I made a mistake. I mentioned that, so Krug was on the point, Tarasenko was on the half wall. It was Barbashev in the middle, because remember I said I thought Tarasenko touched that puck? It was Barbashev in the middle there, and if I'm not mistaken, it was Dominic Toninato. And I thought Barbashev might have touched it in the middle there, so it was actually Tarasenko crossed to... David Perron. So anyways, I got my players mixed up there, but I thought it was a really nice little play by Barbashev and Tarasenko to kind of use Barbashev as kind of a screen in the pass, if you want to say that. But getting to the Kyle Connor play in his own zone, he intercepts the pass and then just makes a beautiful flip play up to Pierre-Luc Dubois. And the Pierre-Luc Dubois, obviously, just with an absolutely beautiful pass to Nick Ehlers. And as you mentioned, Drew, certain players are going to score every single time on a 2-on-0, like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I'm going to give them 9 out of 10 times they're going to score a goal. There's just certain players. These are the best players in the world. And Ehlers and Dubois are right up there. I mean, they're not necessarily at the McDavid Draisaitl level, but those guys don't miss a lot. So you have to give Connor a lot of credit, though, for that play that he makes in his own zone and just a really smart little flip pass. So Connor gets the secondary assist, but as Murat, our good friend of The Athletic, said on Twitter, that's one of those secondary assists that you could probably give him a primary assist on that one. So just a really nice goal. And at that point in the second period, guys, it was all Jets. The Blues didn't have a shot on net for the first 5 minutes of the second period. So give the Jets a lot of credit. They're down 1-0. You know, they're facing a road trip and possibly losing 2 of 3 games. So give them a lot of credit. They came out on fire, led by Dubois and Connor. And then, you know, Ehlers finishes off that 2-on-0. And, you know, it was a game at that point.
Absolutely, it was the game at that point. And really, the rest of the second period, it looked like it was going to be 1-1 after 40 minutes. I mean, you know, the Jets played well in that second period. And then Christian Vesalainen with just an inexcusable decision and turnover that leads to a bit of a comedy of errors for the Winnipeg Jets, resulting in the Blues ending up taking the lead, with 27 seconds to go in the second period. Tarasenko gets his 20th of the year, assist to Braden Schenn. And you just can't have this turnover, Dave. It's a bad turnover. Logan Stanley provides a great screen, which is only a bit of a problem because, you know, he plays for the Jets and he was screening their own goalie. And then it's a save that you probably want Hellebuck to make. So bad all around to end the second period for the Jets.
Yeah, that was the way I looked at it, Drew. I thought it was kind of a yikes moment for Winnipeg. You've played good. You've played well in the period. You're feeling good about the game. You got back into it off a beautiful goal, as Ezzie just discussed. And suddenly then you find yourself down 2-1 with 26.2 seconds to go in that second period. So, I mean, it's a bit of a heartbreaker. And, every single time the Jets make mistakes, it seems to end up in the back of their net. Mm-hmm. Now, Connor Hellebuck did make some really nice saves in this game, some critical saves, some important saves in order to either keep it a tie game or to keep the Jets ahead or whatever it was. But in that instance, you really think, especially with under a minute to go, and we've seen that happen to this Jets club quite a lot this season, at least it feels like it's happened quite a lot, with the last minute to go in a period, they get scored on. So, I mean, it wasn't a great pass from, was it Ehlers to Vesalainen, I think? It wasn't. I think it was going to be a give and go, but the point is it handcuffed the Vesalainen a little bit and he looked just uncomfortable. Look, there's been a lot of instances where Jets just make curious plays. Like I was saying to Ezzie, there was an instance in the game when Pionk knows the Jets are going for a change. And then rather than hanging out the puck, he dumps it in. Well, you've just turned over possession. It was under a minute to go in the third period of a tie game. And you've just given up possession needlessly because there was no pressure. So the Jets do that sometimes where like there's nobody on them. And yet they try and do something that's almost needless that ends up burning them a little bit. And that's one of those plays that I thought maybe it happened. Now, I understand what Ehlers' intent was, but like I said, and I'm not trying, like Vesalainen doesn't handle it cleanly. He fumbles it and then it ends up being turned over. And I just thought, it was hard to see how much of Hellebuck was screened by Stanley from the angles they showed, Drew. But I mean, I didn't think it was significant enough that Connor Hellebuck shouldn't have had that. I thought he should have had that save.
It also looked like the puck was rolling a little bit. And Tarasenko's got a great wrist shot. Like Tarasenko, that was his 20th of the year, right? Like Tarasenko's a guy that's popped in 40 before, right? So, I mean, you're right, though, Dave. I mean, it's unfortunate because Vesalainen was throwing his weight around. And I thought he was having a pretty decent game up until that point, right? And the problem with that is Ehlers gives him a little pass there and you're going forward. And you have to know that Schenn's got momentum. You just have to push get it into the blue zone there. And it's just unfortunate because it looked like Vesalainen was really sure, you know, if he clearly was going to try to get it back to Ehlers, right? Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't the right time because that would have, you know, just killed the momentum. So it just an unfortunate play. And Braden Schenn's a great player. He ties the game up. But, I mean, this guy's been, doing this in the league for a long time. He was a big part of the team in 2019 that won the cup, right? So just unfortunate, I thought, for Vesalainen, a player who's really still trying to establish himself as an everyday NHL player. I thought he was working hard and he had some hits through the first couple of periods that I remember. So it's just having an awareness of where you are on the ice and what the right play is.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a situational awareness problem there. I mean, and that's just, you know, in that, you know, when you're in those circumstances late in the period, you know, yeah, you don't like giving up possession for nothing, but you certainly don't like giving up possession with a turnover in the neutral zone, because look how quickly it was until the Blues were able to take the lead. Look, Jets get it back. 6:30 mark of the second period, and you can't overstate how important this goal is. You know, it starts with Logan Stanley. He gets the secondary assist. The goal is Mark Scheifele's primary assist to Blake Wheeler, but Logan Stanley, this is what the Jets need to see Logan Stanley play like. Big hit on Jordan Kyrou, sort of at the that begins the entire sequence. Mm-hmm. Then he gains the line and he gets a shot, you know, on, and then it's just a scramble drill, and it's a bit ugly for Jordan Binnington, you know, the puck squeaking behind him, and Scheifele's there to pounce on the rebound. I mean, nothing pretty about it, but pretty hasn't been a success. It hasn't been a recipe for success for this team. You needed to be a dirty, gritty, ugly goal mouth scramble kind of goal, and the Jets got it here to tie the game as.
Yeah, you're completely right about Binnington. Like, Binnington was way out of position. He just couldn't ever really get back into the play. But, you know, a lot of people I see in the chat, rightly so, talking about Ehlers' hit on Oscar Sundqvist, because we talked about that earlier. He was the one, you know, who caught Andrew Kopp in the neutral zone. But that Logan Stanley hit on Jordan Kyrou, like, the Blues were already out without Robert Thomas. Yeah. And Jordan Kyrou is obviously one of their top players as well. And that hit was massive. It was a clean hit. And then he continues it, you know, jumps up into the play. I think it was Scheifele that dropped the pass to him. And then he, you know, goes wide and forces Binnington out of his net. The shot hit the side of the net, but it forced Binnington out of position. And then obviously you could see Scheifele was just following, you know, the puck to the net. And it was just there for him. It was one of the easier goals he's going to score, right? But, I mean, you know, that was a huge goal, because the Jets, I thought, you know, deserved that game being tied at that point. I really did think, you know, that they had, you know, the better chances and the better zone time, better pressure, everything like that. But, you know, Logan Stanley specifically, for a guy, let's be honest, I mean, you know, his play has regressed a little bit this season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a guy that, you know, could have easily been taken out of the lineup. I mentioned that yesterday. Like, I brought that up with you guys. I brought that up with Sean Reynolds. You know, maybe Ville Heinola gets into the lineup. Obviously, he didn't. So, you know, give Stanley a lot of credit. Big hit, and follows that up with a big assist on Scheifele's tying goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly what the Jets needed at that point in time. You mentioned the Jets, you know, playing well, and you're right, Ezzy. I mean, you look at the expected goals at 5-on-5 in tonight's game, and the Jets have had pretty good expected goal numbers all year round, but we know that hasn't translated. But 3.38 expected goals for the Jets, 1.77 for the Blues. So if you subscribe to the quote-unquote fancy stats, you can see that the Jets really did have a lot of control of tonight's game, and their expected goals total was much higher than that of the St. Louis Blues. And I think the Jets were fired up by the Andrew Kopp hit, because this is all after the hit. Sundqvist has laid the hit on Kopp that knocked Kopp out of the game, and, you know, I'm not going to speculate wildly, but looks like, I'd be surprised if he's in the lineup on Tuesday. I think that's probably fair to say, given Blake Wheeler's comments tonight. I mean, you know, time will tell. We'll know more.
You have to be cautious, right? You always have to be cautious with concussion.
Head injury. Yeah. Yeah. So we, you know, 24, 48 hours, we'll know more about that. But the Jets were fired up as a result, and it took a minute and 3 seconds after they tied the game to take the lead. Kyle Connor, number 37, assist to Neil Pionk. And I'll tell you what, if you tell me where there was room to shoot here, I didn't see it, but that's why Kyle Connor is on the ice, and I'm just some yutz in front of a camera talking to you good folks on this Sunday evening.
It's look, incredible, right, Dave? You go, Dave. I mean, you're the Kyle Connor, you know, enthusiast. So I'll let you go here.
I think everybody is right now.
Well, I mean, it's hard not to be. I mean, he's got 37 goals in 60 games. He's one off his career high, which was 38, and he did that in 71 a few years back. I mean, he's well on pace. He eclipsed, you know, after scoring yesterday against the Islanders. I mean, he's over the mark to hit 50 goals in the season. So, I mean, it's remarkable if you think about it, right? We were talking about Kyle Connor hitting 40, and wouldn't that be something? Well, he's now getting close to that 50 mark, and that's significant. I mean, it just seems like every single thing he touches is in and in the back of the net. And look, he had a 3-point night tonight. He's continuing to show you how good a hockey player he is. And his shooting percentage, it's funny because his shooting percentage from a career perspective, I think was actually the lowest it's been. Yeah, I'm just looking now for full seasons. This, ironically, is actually the lowest shooting percentage he's ever had in his career. Now, it's not significantly. It's 14% versus, you know, 15 or 16. But I'm just saying it's funny that this is his year. But it just goes to show you shooting more. And he has the puck more. And he's playing with it more. And you can just see it. It's translating in everything he does. And every time he gets a chance, like, I mean, he rang one off the post. He has just looked dangerous when he gets that puck. So it's
dangerous and confident.
Well, exactly. And you know what, again, like I said, that's why it would be such a shame. I understand from a significant, you know, from the macro level, mm-hmm. you know, looking at this Jets team, but that's why I think it's a shame for this season for him to, quote, be a wasted one just because of what he's been able to accomplish on an individual level. I mean, it's something we've never seen here in Winnipeg. We've only seen one 40 goal season in, you know, 11 years of the Jets. And that's obviously from Patrick Laine.
Yeah.
So to see a guy who's potentially going to hit 50, that's simply remarkable. And like,
still
I said,
remember Keith Tkachuk hitting it into that empty net against the LA Kings in what could have been the final. It was the final regular season home game.
Of Jets, right?
1.0. Yeah. And then they made the playoffs, of course. But that was the, you know, he hit that empty net.
The blue and roll.
Yeah, it was basically that empty. I think that was that empty net goal that actually clinched the playoff spot for the Jets. Yeah. You know, and then if you remember.
If you remember,
then they went on the road. They had one final game on the road in Anaheim, a mm-hmm. one-off against the Ducks, who weren't a playoff team, and had the Jets 1.0 beat the Ducks that year.
They didn't have
beat
to play
the Ducks
Detroit.
In Anaheim.
Yeah, they
would have avoided Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, look.
That's a good memory, Drew. I definitely don't remember that far back.
Yeah. People want to
really remember a week ago, but
people want to know if you got a new car battery, Ezzy.
Well,
no, I didn't have time, but I definitely am going to invest in a new car battery. It's time. It's due.
Okay, so we're going to start a Google tip jar so that everyone can contribute money to Ezzy's new car battery. So, you know, dig deep in the pockets, look under the couch, see if you can scrape together some shekels.
No,
Ezzy needs a new car battery, folks.
There's other people that deserve the, you know, donations more than I do. I'll figure it out. I'll save up my allowance.
Yeah, you don't need that kidney. That's why you got two of them. You don't need that second one. Anyways, it's 3-2 for the Jets at that point in time.
And George, I just want to just say the other thing that's important is the fact that they created their own momentum, right? That's something we've seen against the Jets where they've given up goals back to back and, you know, like 48 seconds, what a difference that makes. Mm-hmm. Well, here's an instance where the Jets were actually able to do it to another team. And look, I know St. Louis played yesterday, but they were coming into the game 13 points ahead of Winnipeg in the standings. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that Husso is kind of been the guy. We talked to Jeremy Rutherford yesterday for some time, and we know that Husso has been the man, and Binnington has had kind of a rough go of it this season. But still, I mean, this is a St. Louis team that seemed to be playing well. I think it was Robert Thomas who was the late scratch. He was in warm-up, and then he was a late scratch for St. Louis. But
yeah, I don't think it's serious, Dave. I think it's just something like an
illness, apparently.
Yeah.
Still, he's a good player, and I just think like it's
really good player.
And it was unexpected, I think, but still, you know, this was an important momentum swing for Winnipeg, and to give them that kind of that sense of like, okay, it's not just tied, but now we've taken the lead, and you could see it in their play. And you're right, Drew. It gave them a little bit of reward because they had been doing some things right.
Yeah, exactly right. And then, you know, they're trying to hold on for dear life to win it in regulation. And Braden Schenn puts that idea out of reach pretty quickly. I guess the good thing at that point in time was that they held on. But Braden Schenn, with the net empty, scores his 17th of the year, assisted Jordan Kyrou and Tarasenko. And, you know, the Blues gained the line with ease. They moved it around with ease. You don't like the Jets' defensive structure, 6-on-5 in this instance. And the Jets have actually been pretty decent, I think, 6-on-5 this year. But it was too easy for the Blues to score the tying goal after they pulled Jordan Binnington, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, well, they were moving the puck pretty well. You just talked about it. And Ryan O'Reilly basically provided a perfect screen on Connor Hellebuyck, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how much of the shot he saw, but I mean, O'Reilly was right in front of him. And you're right, Drew. It was a little bit loose, a little bit scrambly in the Jets' end. And the Blues were obviously pouring it on because even though, you know, this game doesn't necessarily mean as much to them, I shouldn't say it doesn't mean a lot to them because they're obviously, you know, fighting for positioning and everything like that, seeding, right? So you're right, though. I mean, that was a killer. And, you know, you're watching that and you're thinking, you know, the Jets have to get 2 points out of this game. Luckily, they did. But to me, that was just, you know, really good puck movement by Tarasenko, Schenn, Kyrou, and then O'Reilly just had a perfect screen in front of Hellebuyck.
They certainly did, and there was, you know, 3-3 at that point in time. You know, Pierre-Luc Dubois had a decent opportunity, with about a minute to go. Good rush, got a good shot on Binnington. He made the save. The Blues really didn't have much against Hellebuck in the last couple minutes. Off to overtime we go in what was an overtime period that I would say the Jets pretty much dominated. The Blues obviously had that glorious opportunity after the no-call against Scheifele that, Connor Hellebuck makes the save. But in terms of possessing the puck, in terms of controlling an overtime, it was all Jets. And then they're able to, finish it off in a very important manner. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his 24th. He's quietly a little bit going to get between 30 and 35 goals. And, he's been great for the Jets, but to have that many goals, I think, is maybe a little bit under the radar, especially when we watch what Connor's been doing. But Dubois, his 24th, assist to Nikolaj Ehlers and Kyle Connor, and the Jets come away with a absolutely massive, all-important 2 points. Look, 4 points isn't impossible. 4 points back in the playoffs isn't impossible, especially because that could be as close as two, depending on what happens Tuesday night against the Golden Knights. But I guess your thoughts on the Dubois game-winning goal first.
Well, look, you mentioned it. I mean, Hellebuck makes a huge save on David Perron after just an inexcusable non-call by the referees after he mauls Scheifele, close to the Blues blue line. Just a good transition play. And, just a perfect pass by Ehlers to Dubois. We talked about it, on the 2-on-0 with Ehlers and Dubois. I mean, these guys just, they're so skilled that they don't miss those types of plays. Obviously, they do once in a while, but they rarely do. These guys are snipers. And you're right, Drew. Dubois is putting together, I mean, it's not like, it's been something recent or new. I mean, he's been good from the beginning of the season. But he's going to most likely break career highs in goals and points, right? And he's just continuing to be a leader on this team. Not only is he scoring goals, I mean, he's leading by example, throwing his weight around, setting up plays, scoring goals. He's really doing everything.
He certainly is.
Nice way to play in his 100th game as a Winnipeg Jet.
Oh, there you go. He was a beast on the ice all game long. He was certainly one of the more impactful players for the Jets, as we've said so many different times this year. And a huge 2 points for the Winnipeg Jets. They get the victory over the St. Louis Blues. Tuesday night against the Vegas Golden Knights is going to be massive. The out-of-town scoreboard has been to their advantage so far tonight. So lots of things going the Winnipeg Jets' way on this Sunday evening. Let's head to break. When we come back, we will do, of course, our tough duck hardest hitting comment. We'll look ahead to Tuesday, talk about some things going on around the NHL, talk about the Jets lineup decisions might look like without potentially Andrew Kopp. And does Evgeny Svechnikov, is he in the doghouse now, having gotten the second unsportsmanlike conduct? This one wasn't a penalty. This wasn't a 2-minute minor, but it was a 10-minute misconduct. Much more to talk about after tonight's Jets and Blues game. The Jets victorious. The game recap brought to you by our friends at Betway. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. The March Madness bracket is out, so you know that Betway will be your home for any college basketball betting.
Go Kentucky, baby.
Thank you, Ezzy. I appreciate the love and support, especially with all that starting on Thursday. Don't go anywhere. You're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. Smash the like button. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. We'll be right back for more post-game coverage.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, The house is upside down. The kids failed miserably at packing the fine china. And my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called GridPark. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The GridPark app?
Yep. Spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the GridPark app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the GridPark app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Shortly before 9:30, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. Nice to see so many of our friends, new and old, joining us on this Sunday evening. If you are new, if you are old, either way, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends, tell your family members the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game, including this coming Tuesday night at around 9:45 p.m. We'll be here on the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. We've got you covered, everything to do with the Winnipeg Jets, top to bottom. That's what our raison d'etre is for Mr. Manuk, Mr. Ginsberg. And
I have a French immersion diploma, so that's reason for being.
Ooh, thank you, Ezra. Good contribution to tonight's program. Always appreciate that. Look at the out-of-town scoreboard. As I mentioned, the Calgary Flames are in Colorado. Avalanche up 2-0 on the Flames late in the third period. So the Avalanche, who are they out without now? They're without Gabriel Landeskog. Is that
Landeskog? Yeah.
Landeskog is out.
Remember I talked about yesterday on the show, talking about when guys get injured, and they lost. Colorado lost two. It wasn't just Landeskog. They lost
Sam Morin.
And they lose. They lost one of their defensemen as well.
Yeah,
they had two guys. Two Colorado lost two players. To injury.
There was not Sam Morin. What's the guy?
I thought it was someone else.
It was. Sam Morin is
Samuel Girard.
Girard. I'm thinking. Yeah, Girard. Morin is the guy who was drafted by Philadelphia, who's like 8 feet tall, and he never really materialized into much. But yes, Girard.
Philly draft pick.
Yeah. That's what I said. Did I say Philly?
Anyway, oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're without their two guys. Anyways, they're up 2-0 on Calgary late in the third period. And then halfway through the first period in Vancouver, Jets fans will like this score. Tampa Bay 2, Vancouver nothing. And certainly a game that here in Winnipeg, people will be keeping a close eye on as the Jets and the Canucks are all battling among the other teams for playoff positioning. The Dallas Stars, you know. Look, if the Dallas Stars are the ones right now in the driver's seat. They're the ones who have 3 games in hand on the Jets.
Yeah.
They have 3 games in hand on the Canucks. They have 4 games in hand on the Vegas Golden Knights, and they're only a point behind Vegas. So they're the team to really keep a close eye on as things begin to bunch up a little bit in that Western Conference wild card race. Certainly good for the Jets, though, so far tonight on the out-of-town scoreboard. Okay, but what happens with this Jets lineup on Tuesday, if Andrew Kopp can't go. I also want to just tell you about the Corsi four of Kyle Connor, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Nikolai Ehlers. At 5-on-5, they played 10 minutes and 18 seconds.
So a huge sample size.
Huge sample size. Totally take it to the bank. But their Corsi 4 was 73%, 16-6. No surprise. You would think that a Dubois, Connor, Ehlers line would be successful. But given everything you've seen tonight, with maybe Andrew Kopp out of the lineup, with Evgeny Svechnikov maybe not being in the good graces of Dave Lowry, that's just some food for thought as to what that line did in their shortly more than 10 minutes together.
Well, and the numbers don't lie in that case, right? And the eye test and the numbers match up there, because it was unlike the Islanders game when the Jets scored the 2-on-0, they were getting badly outplayed, right? Mm-hmm. And tonight, I mean, it was the opposite. The Jets were all over the Blues. We talked about it. The second period, they came out with a really strong effort, had a bunch of scoring chances. I thought Blake Wheeler actually, had an underrated game. I thought he was really strong tonight. And so that's not surprising to me at all, Drew. I mean, Connor, Dubois, Ehlers, those guys were obviously the ones that started, you know, the overtime, and they finished it. So they were dominant tonight, and they have been dominant in the past. And, you know, speaking of Svechnikov, the game misconduct, or pardon me, the misconduct, that's not something that you like to see. And you wonder, you know, could you see Connor, Dubois, and Ehlers? I would roll those three guys together.
Well, I mean, and the opponents will have to be on their heels just by default when they're playing against those three. I mean, the way that Connor and Dubois have looked together as a duo, and then you add in the dynamic nature of Nikolai Ehlers there, Dave, it's just going to be a fantastic option for the Jets. But let's say Kopp isn't in the lineup on Tuesday. Is Adam Brooks the guy who comes back in? He's been the healthy scratch. Haven't seen a lot of him or a lot from him. Or do you think the Jets maybe go down to the Moose, Dave, where you have your particular levels of expertise, and maybe pluck somebody from the Moose to step into the lineup? That would not be the typical way of doing things. Usually it's the guy who's been the healthy scratch who gets the next man up. But how do you think the Jets might proceed on Tuesday, especially without a guy like Kopp, who sort of plays not a specialized role for the Jets, but mm-hmm. not necessarily a immediate plug-and-play kind of role?
Well, I mean, Drew, remember, there's always a possibility of going 11-7. Maybe you want to get Ville Heinola into the lineup. Maybe you go 11-7, something the Jets, Dave Lowry has, you know, the Jets have used in the past this season, something you've kind of promoted, especially if you're not going to use your fourth line very much. It seemed like actually the fourth line played a little bit more. I don't know what their ice time finished up on the game at, but it seemed like they were a little more involved, I thought, at least, from in the contest. So Drew,
Tony Nato was 4.5 minutes. Veselainen was a little more at 6:40.
Because so he jumped up.
Yeah. He jumped up to play a little bit more. Tony, I mean, there weren't a lot of penalties in this game.
Harkins was at just over 7 minutes.
Yeah, Harkins was at 7.5. Yeah. And so, you know, not a ton. So
No. Okay, but anyway, so you know, maybe, like I said, we'll see what they do in terms of, like, Beaulieu isn't gonna be back anytime soon, so they're gonna keep Heinola, but you can't keep Heinola and not play him. I mean, I understand people's frustration, but, like, to me, if you're not going to use your fourth line, mm-hmm. at least get Heinola in the lineup, get him going a little bit. And then if you really want to control, especially considering their games at home, you can control the matchup. So, I mean, really that gives you an opportunity to really, I mean, manage the bench the way a coach is supposed to in game, make adjustments and manage, right? Take advantage of what it is that you control, which is last change. So, If you want Heinola up against certain guys, well, there you go. Or you only want him on the ice in certain situations, well, there you go. So to me, here's an opportunity to go. What do you mean? You can throw Adam Brooks in the lineup so he can play 4 minutes. Like, let Heinola go in there, and if he's going well, then at least you get him some. You get him going, and you get him feeling good. Because, like I said, I think the worst thing for these guys is to not be playing. And so if you're not gonna play him, send him down to the Moose. Moose, you can play 7 on the road, and guess what? He'll play a lot. If you're gonna play him. Or, you know, then, and here's an opportunity. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Kopp. That's still a big question mark. And if you're asking me who are they going to recall, I mean, traditionally they would probably call up David Gustafson. Jeff Malott is having a pretty good season. They're not going to go Malott over Gustafson, I don't think. But, you know, he scored 17 goals. He goes in, he's I think he's got the most goals in the AHL from the inner slot. That's where he's, you know, his bread and butter is just right in front of the goaltender. So
maybe the Jets consider Austin Pagansky, right? Just based on recency, he played some games already this year, right?
Yeah, for sure. And like Dave Lowry seems to like Pagansky. So Pagansky's, you know, a guy who, I mean, he had an assist in yesterday's win for the Moose. So, you know, I mean, like there's always a possibility that they'd call Pagansky up. But I mean, to me, and we're not necessarily there yet. I think it happens once it becomes, you know, known as to what's going to happen with the Jets season. But, you know, Jeff Molot's only on a 1 year deal. Like he's only on a 1 year deal for this year. Right. So kind of want to get to know what you have in this player, maybe at that NHL level. Now you may not want to do it while you're chasing a playoff spot, but if that becomes less of a likelihood for the Jets later on, then you give Jeff Molot a look. So to me, David Gustafson, who's back to looking like David Gustafson, he's got his legs back. He's skating. He's playing in every situation possible. I mean, again, I hate the idea of him going from 20 minutes every situation with the Moose to 4 minutes with the Jets. Like, I just think it's just a complete waste of what he is. But as I've been saying for a while, if you can give David Gustafson, I mean, look at that third line potentially with Adam Lowry, David Gustafson, Evgeny Svechnikov, or Jansen Harkins. But that's not a bad third line. That gives you a line that's defensively responsible, can probably put the puck in the net if given the opportunity. And so that it would, and I think you're grooming David Gustafson anyways to potentially replace Andrew Kopp. I know some people disagree with me in that regard, but that's, like I said, I call him an Andrew Kopp light. I think there's some areas that he may be a little bit better. And remember, he's younger than Andrew Kopp. So, I mean, there's a difference in their game, of course, but I just think that David Gustafson, you may want to give him a shot beside Adam Lowry. Well,
and there's a few other things there, Dave, right? Like the Jets could recall Gustafson and then Brooks is the player that's inserted, right? Could see 11-7. So Gustafson could be recalled. Like it really depends how long the Jets expect Kopp to be out of the lineup, right? Like, is it possible that, you know, Kopp misses the game on Tuesday and then he's back on Friday for the game against Boston? Or are we talking about, you know, something a little bit longer? Like, we just don't know right now. So I think, you know, there's a good possibility it is Gustafson. And I think when you're talking about, let's say, Gustafson versus Brooks, there's a higher likelihood that Gustafson's going to get more minutes for obvious reasons, right? Like, he might play on the third line, but it's that penalty kill role that Dave has talked about a lot with the Moose. He plays on the PK, obviously plays on the power play as well. So I think that's just something to consider, you know, if it ends up being Gustafson who gets in the lineup ahead of a Brooks or somebody else, it's most likely because they feel that they can use him more in those special team situations.
Good discussion there, gentlemen. Hardest hitting comment, courtesy our friends at Tough Duck. Ezzy, who do you got for tonight?
We're going to give it. This comment was early on in the post game show. You've got it up there. Maxime, we started. We're able to do fancy things like that in the chat behind the scenes. Maxime Chapelles. I'm not sure if that's her real name, but that is a great last name. Makes me think of, obviously, Dave Chappelle. Great comment on Logan Stanley. Good to see Stanley do what he does or should. Hit. I genuinely think that he has the potential to be a solid defender, but he has to play big if he wants to achieve his full potential. I just thought it was a great, really good comment there. And going back to what we've said before, you know, Stanley, at times you wonder if a guy like Ville Heinola is going to get into the lineup because he struggled a little bit on that third pair. But I mean, he had a huge part in that tying goal by Mark Scheifele, big hit, and then, you know, comes up into the play, shoots the puck, hits the side of the net, but then he obviously gets it on net and then Scheifele buries the rebound. So Maxime, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Send me your mailing address and then Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you.
There you go. Congratulations to Maxime, winner of tonight's hardest hitting comment, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. Give away another toque on Tuesday night. So if you haven't had an opportunity to win yet, if you haven't had your name drawn as the hardest hitting commenter, as I see Alan and I see Harvey always in the giving us the little teary eyed emojis, come back on Tuesday night at around 9:45, and maybe that will be your lucky night to win the toque from our friends.
A lot of toques left to give away, guys. So, Alan, just stick around. We'll get you one. That's a great logo, by the way, the Atlanta Flames logo. I love that.
Keep bringing the heat. You never know when you're going to be the winner of the hardest hitting comment. Quick note, not Jets related, but Austin Matthews going to have a hearing for his cross check to the head of Rasmus Dahlin earlier today in the Heritage Classic game outdoors at Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, a game that the Sabres won 5-2 as the Maple Leafs goaltending continues to be an utter tire fire, much to the enjoyment of most everybody that's not a fan
Marc-Andre
of
Fleury
the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, I don't know. Does Marc-Andre Fleury want that? He's got to agree to it.
I don't see that happening.
Well, I mean, I don't, it's going to,
Edmonton or Toronto.
Well, no, there's talk he doesn't even want to go anywhere. He's talking that he's happy just, finishing it up.
He's always wanted to end his career as a Blackhawk, right? So
that's right. His ties to the Blackhawks organization are long.
Maybe he'll pull a Tom Brady a year ago.
Maybe he'll pull a Tom Brady. He'll retire and then unretire 2 months
later. It could be. He's back. He's back.
I just hope someone doesn't pay $500,000 for that final Marc-Andre Fleury puck and then have him unretire and it become completely worthless.
So how much is that football worth now, would you say, Drew? You're the football guy. Like you spent $500,000 on a football thinking it's Tom Brady's last game. So how much value did he lose on that one, do you think?
Well, what can you buy a retail football for at your local Dick's Sporting Goods? I don't know, $49.99? I think he lost a little bit of money there. I'm not 100% sure. He might have been better off buying an NFT, which I'm still not quite sure what the hell an NFT is, but I think it wouldn't have diminished in value quite as fast as that.
National Fungus Token or something?
That's right. It's all about fungus. It's about your toes, in fact, Ezzy. That's what it's all about. Dave, I mean, your pleas for a Manuk Moose Minute are sort of sad and depressing, but nonetheless, I'll give you and the people what they want. A quick one tonight, though. I'd like to go to bed. It's a little bit late. I don't mind curling up on a Sunday night. I don't necessarily need to spend all night listening to you talk about the Moose ad nauseum for minutes on end. But anyways, here you go.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Drew, how could we not? And they had a 9-game homestand, and it came to an end last night against the Belleville Senators. And the Moose, it's amazing how well they've played at home. And they, even during the stretch of nine, they did lose three straight, then they won three straight. So looking to end it on a positive note, they kind of fell asleep at the wheel a little bit after having a 3-1 lead on Friday. A couple of power play goals, they ended up losing that one in a shootout. So they're looking to end it on a high note. Great crowd. I think over 5,000 people yesterday at Canada Life. Tons of kids, which makes it just a phenomenal atmosphere. And started off well. Johnny Kovacevic, the 2017 third rounder, he scored his 9th goal of the season to make it a 1-0 game for the Moose. And really the only blemish against Arvid Holm was a power play goal. So 4-on-3 early in the second period that the Moose gave up to make it a 1-1 game. And then the Moose just started to fire Cole Meyer. He's such a nice addition. He signed for one more year. He's an alternate captain with the Moose. He made it 2-1. Then Mike Yessimont, he's a guy who a lot of people don't talk about. He's very skilled. He's a small skill forward, but very, 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 good with the puck and in tight. And so, he's a guy who's on an NHL deal. There hasn't really been a lot of talk of him getting a recall, but he's mm-hmm. kind of, a little bit slick and under the wire in that regard. But good player, so he made it 3-1. Then Nick Hutchinson, who's on a PTO, he scored his second AHL goal in as many games. He made it 4-1, so it kind of opened up in the second, and then they just kept going. Jeff Malott, who I mentioned earlier, he scored his 16th and 17th goals of the season to make it a 6-1 game, and that's how it would end. And the Moose went 5-3-0-1 on this homestand, which makes them 19-6-0-2 in Canada Life this season. So these guys just keep winning, and good conversations with head coach Mark Morrison after the game, as well as Johnny Kovacevic and captain Jimmy Olney about just how well they play here and just how well they've played as a team. It's funny, I picked the three stars last night as I usually do when I'm there, and the one
no big deal
hashtag no big deal. But the crazy thing is it wasn't an easy one, because although they, for the record, they changed it, I'm not happy, I'm gonna talk to my boy Colin about that, but they did change one of my stars. But the truth is,
Is there three stars controversy that we have to talk about here?
I don't know. Do I need a new moose minutes three stars controversy?
No, not yet. But the point is that it's not easy with this team, because more often than not, it's right across the board. And one of the things that Mark Morrison was talking about when he was talking to he said he was talking to his guys, and he said something about how they don't have anybody in the top 30 of scoring. And in my head, I knew the answer already. I'm like, they don't have anybody in the top 100 of scoring. That's how evenly distributed this team scores and contributes, which is fantastic for them, because as I've talked about, when they lose, unlike the 17-18 team, which was more talented, but they lost to Jack Roswick, and that team became suddenly a 500 team. These guys, they lose any of their upper echelon guys, and just one extra guy just fills in that spot. So it really is a team effort from these guys, and that's why I think it's going to be so impactful for them. Dylan Samberg, Declan Chisholm, Leon Gavanke, Johnny Kovacevic, David Gustafson, Christian Vesalainen, Cole Perfetti, all of those guys to go on a long run with this playoff team and with that mentality, Mikael Bird and Arvid Holm, all of them, to have that sort of expert experience and an opportunity, really good. So this is a Moose team, like I said, they've already, that was their 30th win of the season, just flying. So they're going to head out on the road. They go play 7 on the road, 2 in Abbotsford, and then they go to Iowa for 2, and then they go, I think, Rockford, Chicago, Rockford. So they won't be back for a few weeks, but you know, the Moose are rolling, and it's funny because more people are paying attention now. It was their gender equality game yesterday, so it was really neat to see all the women involved in the broadcast and you know, who are there and learning and that sort of thing. And they do, you know, they have a lot of great women who work for the organization that we interact with quite often. So it was a really good game, and it was a really good way for them to end a 9-game homestand. So yeah, pay attention to the Moose, and as you know, it's always on illegalcurve.com.
The Moose won't be in town, but the Manuk Moose Minute isn't going anywhere, so you can stay tuned for more of those and keep on following. As Dave mentioned, illegalcurve.com has the latest Moose news as well as the latest Winnipeg Jets news. Want to say a big thank you to all of the sponsors of Illegal Curve Hockey. They make the post-game show. They make the Saturday show. They make the website a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rollies Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. The Jets victorious tonight in St. Louis, 4-3 over the Blues, move within 4 points of the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. A huge matchup Tuesday night against the Vegas Golden Knights. The Golden Knights currently hold that final playoff spot. A victory on Tuesday, well, simple math tells you the Jets will be even closer to the playoffs. Be sure to be here for the post-game show on Tuesday night, 9:45 p.m. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, set reminders here, there, and everywhere to join us after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And again, on Saturday mornings for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, tell your friends, tell your family, this is the place to be. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra, save a horse, ride a Ginsburg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. We'll see you again on Tuesday night.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.